Praise the Lord. Now, I'm titling today's message, Eight Keys to Live in Divine Health. That means without sickness. Eight keys to live in divine health. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 to 20 says, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now I want to communicate eight keys to live in divine health. Let me read this again with that context in mind. Jesus says, and I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church. On this rock of revelation knowledge, this rock that is Christ himself, he is the rock. This rock of Christ in you, the hope of glory. This rock, the very sacrifice of Christ. I'm going to build your life. I'm going to build you up as believers. I'm going to build up the body of Christ. And the gates of hell, any of the strategies that the devil and the kingdom of darkness could come up with, they shall not be able to overpower you, but rather they will submit unto you. Hallelujah. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And in this realm of healing and divine health, you will exercise authority so that it will be on earth as it already is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. It is settled in heaven. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Everything needful for us to be whole, Jesus paid that price in full. And by his stripes, we were healed. The word of God, the work of Christ, it is settled. It is finished. It is done. It is forever settled in heaven. Divine health and all the healing you could ever need is settled in heaven. The issue is you and I have to agree with heaven so it could be settled on earth, in your life, in my life, so that the will of God could be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I'm going to share eight keys to live in divine health. I'm going to mention these eight keys right up front, and then we're going to go through them. Key number one, you must know that it is God's will and his earnest desire that you would not only be healed, but live in divine health, live without sickness. You got to know that. Key number two, you got to know that it is possible that you can live in divine health and that you can do this. Amen. Key number three, you got to have an attitude of hatred for sickness, for disease, and have an intolerance for any kind of symptom. Number four, you must also train your mind to think wellness, not sickness. And number five, you must embrace and apply the sacrifice of Christ. I'm talking about what Jesus did on the cross by his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and his shed blood. And then number six, you must exercise the authority of faith. In other words, faith has authority. You must function in faith correctly. Number seven, you must learn how to live out of your spirit. Because you see, inside your born-again spirit is the divine nature of God and all the healing and all the divine health that you can ever need. Your spirit has life and divine healing and health because of righteousness, because of your union with God in Christ. And it says in Romans 8, verse 10 and going on to 11, and if that same spirit that dwells in you that raised up Jesus from the dead, if that spirit dwells in you, then he will quicken your mortal body. Out of your spirit will flow divine healing power into every cell, into every joint, in every part of your being, so that you can not only live in divine, not only be healed, but you can live in divine health and maintain it. Amen? So that is key number seven, living out of your spirit. And then key number eight, I'm going to share five practical steps that so that you can live in the daily bread. Jesus himself is your daily bread. And the scripture says healing is the children's bread. So I'm going to end up by sharing five practical steps. Amen? All right, so let's get into this. Let's get into this. Hallelujah. Now, let me also say this, just as I get into these eight keys. The same keys that will enable you to live free from sickness and disease, these same keys will also get you healed. But like everything else, it must be applied. Amen? Now, I can lay hands on you. You know, a minister, someone with faith and believe the word of God can lay hands on you. They can anoint you with oil. They can speak the word of faith and declare with authority and dominion by his stripes you were healed, and you could be healed that way. But to live in divine health, there's actions that you have to take for yourself. You have got to be, because you see, that divine health is a fruit of righteousness. It is what comes out of living in righteousness, living in oneness with God, living in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, living in this place where you know what your rights are, and living in this place where you're free from condemnation and guilt and shame, and in the presence of God is as if sin has never been. So you have no sin consciousness. So but that's something you've got to develop. As you are established in righteousness, you're living in righteousness, the fruit of that is going to be divine health. So divine health is not something whereby anyone can lay hands on you and give you divine health. No, you have it in your spirit and you're going to have to draw it out. Amen? Out of your belly, you're going to have to draw it out. It says, draw out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, I'm saying you're going to have to draw out your divine health and then keep it flowing continually. But it is available. You can do it. So let's talk about this a little bit. Number one, key number one, you must know with absolute certainty that it is God's will and desire for you to live in divine health and for you to never be sick. Let me say this right now. If there's anyone dealing with sickness, struggling with sickness, don't feel any sense of condemnation. It doesn't make you a lesser of a Christian. Having said that, it is the will of God for you to be whole. Amen? But key number one is you got to know absolutely with total certainty that divine health, healing, living without sickness is your right, and that it is available to you, and that it is God's will, and it is God's desire. And for you to be certain, it means that if you have any kind of thoughts and hindrances, you know, about Paul's thorn in the flesh or some religious idea or the traditions of men, and God heals some sometime, but he doesn't heal everybody all the time. If you have any of those things whatsoever, you're not sure about the will of God, then I recommend that you go and listen to the last three messages that I thought on this subject, but do some search and research so that you could come to the place where you know it is the will of God. Because if you don't know it's the will of God, you will not be able to operate in faith, which means to believe and speak and declare without doubt in your heart. Amen? Not in your head, but in your heart. So you got to know that. All right, so let me just say a couple of things nevertheless. To persuade you, so to speak, that it is the will of God for you to live in divine health and never be sick. Amen? Now, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, Jesus, when he came, he says, I came from heaven. I proceeded from the Father. And I'm here to do the will of the Father. He only did the will of the Father. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And he, Jesus, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, he went around healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and he only did the Father's will. That signifies that one, that indicates clearly that it is and was the will of God to heal everyone. Jesus demonstrated that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Healing and divine health is good. Just pause. You know, it's not complicated. It is very clear for you to recognize what's a blessing and what's a curse, what is good and what is bad. Let us not be confused in the day that we are in, where people are calling what is good bad and what is evil good. Oh, that is such a lie and such a deception. Healing, divine healing and health is good. And Psalms 136 verse 1 says that God is good and his mercy endureth forever. God is good. The very nature of God is goodness. God is good. The very nature of God is such that God is not going to deny himself. God is not going to betray himself. God is not going to be a fake and a phony, something different to what he actually is. And the scripture says in Exodus, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Healing is God's nature. It is part of his nature. Now think about this for a moment. As a parent, and on this Mother's Day, every one of us has had a mother. Amen. None of us would be here without. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. Now, would you as a mother, would you as a father, would you as a parent would you not want your children to have healing, which is good, and to live in divine health? Would you not want for your children to never be sick? And then if you have the ability to supply them with divine healing and health and for them not be sick, would that not be your will? Well, the scripture says that we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more God, who is so pure and perfect, how much more does he desire to give good things to his children? And healing is good. Are we more noble than God? Obviously not. Now, if that's our desire, then you can know without a doubt that it is God's desire and will for us to live in divine health and to be whole. You know, sometimes people will accuse God because of deception and the lies of the enemy that God somehow will use sickness to teach his children a lesson. Now, you as a parent won't put your children's hand in a stove, on a hot stove, to teach them a lesson. You wouldn't give them a dose of cancer to teach them a lesson. Well, why would we think that God is such an abuser, a child abuser, that he would do such a thing? That is absurd. God is a good God. God does not give or use sickness to teach his children. That's evil. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God teaches us by his word. God teaches us by the Holy Ghost. So we should not somehow think that God is giving his children sickness, making the Holy Spirit the spirit of infirmity. We should not think that God is somehow going to use sickness to teach us. Having sickness replace the purpose of the word and the spirit of God. It is absurd. God is good. Now, Jesus is our high priest. Healing is good. And the scripture says that Jesus is the high priest of good things to come. Not bad things. Good things to come. Hebrews 9 verse 11. Healing is good. Healing and not getting sick is good. It's a good thing. Well, Jesus that ever lived to make intercession for us. Jesus that is the high priest of our confession. Jesus, he is the high priest of good things to come. He is in the office as an apostle and high priest over the good things, including healing and divine health, where your life and my life is concerned. Healing is certainly, absolutely the will of God and the desire of God. In addition to that, sickness, quite frankly, is the work of the devil. The devil is the one that has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Sickness steals people's time, steal their finances, steal their strength, steal family members, take them to an early grave, paralyze them, and while they are in sickness, the rest of the family are there serving them. As opposed to serving God and as opposed to doing a whole lot of other things. What is that? I'm saying sickness is of the devil. And the scripture says in 1 John 3:8 that for this purpose, Jesus, the Son of God, was manifested. What for? To destroy the works of the devil. That includes sickness. Consider for a moment. Jesus, the scripture says in John verse 1:1, is the word of God made flesh that dwelt among us. He is the living word of God. Now, it says in Isaiah chapter 55, God says, my word, the word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. But when that word returns unto me, it is because it would have accomplished that which I please, and it would have succeeded in the purpose for which I sent it. Amen? You got that? Now, Jesus is the living word of God. And he came. God sent Jesus into this world. Well, Jesus has returned. The word of God has returned. That means what? The word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the living word, he accomplished everything that the Father sent him to. That word did not return unto God void. Therefore it goes, it's just logical to recognize that what Jesus, the word of God, the living word that has returned to God, has accomplished is destroying the works of the devil, including sickness and disease. And God had said in Psalms 107 and verse 20 that he sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them from all of their affliction and oppression. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Think about it. So sickness is the work of the devil, and Jesus came to destroy it. So without a doubt, healing is God's will, and it is desire. It's his passion. Now, the legal right for sickness or disease to exist in your body has been abolished. It has been abolished. You know, slavery is now being abolished in many places across the world. That means it's illegal. Well, sickness residing in the body of a human being, and especially a believer, is unlawful. It has been abolished. Jesus, it says in Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, and carried our diseases. The chastisement, all that was needful for us to have peace and wholeness, was upon him. And by his stripes, the whipping that he took on his back, that busted his back up, by those stripes, we are healed, and we were healed. What is all of that saying? By the sacrifice of Christ, and the whipping he took on that whipping post, he abolished sickness so that sickness and disease has no legal right in your body, and therefore it is unlawful. And when you are a child of God, you are the temple of the living God, and he is to be glorified in your body. Sickness and disease does not glorify God. It is a lie, it's a deception, and it is a work of the devil. Jesus was so beaten and bruised regarding the issue of sickness that Isaiah 52 verse 14 says that his visage, his body was so marred that his form did not even look like a man as he hung on that cross. Amen? What am I saying? I am saying that it is illegal for sickness to exist in your body. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. It does exist, but it's unlawful. It has no right to exist. And you got to know these things. Because if you don't know these things, then you might tolerate it. You've got to know these things, because it's going to take a mindset. It's going to take faith. It is not automatic for you to live in divine health. Getting healed is easy. Somebody lay hands on you, you believe, you receive, bam, you're healed. But to live in divine health, you got to learn to live in that oneness with God. You got to learn to live in righteousness. You got to learn to live in your authority over sickness and disease. You got to know that healing is the children's bread and it belongs to you. You got to know that sickness is illegal, it's unlawful, and it has no right in your body because you have been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus and by his sacrifice. Amen? God has decreed healing for you. That's what he did when it says, by his stripes you were healed. And that word is settled in heaven. And it is our believing and faith that causes it to be settled here on earth in your body so it could be on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Healing is absolutely God's will and it is his desire. It's his nature for you to be healed. So let's understand. Let's understand this word. I just want to make sure we got this. Let's understand the word peace. You know, it says the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. That word peace in the Old Testament is shalom. And the word shalom means wholeness. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Amen. So Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, the chastisement, whatever was needful for us to have peace, was upon him. Amen? And it says, and it goes on to say, why? Jesus bore our sickness, carried our infirmities. And so that is what peace, especially old covenant peace, means, wholeness. And if that's all it was, that's good enough for healing. That's good enough for divine health. But the fact of the matter is, the word peace is more than shalom. In the new covenant, the word peace in Colossians 1 verse 20, it talks about the fact that by the blood of his cross, he has reconciled everything in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, unto himself, thereby making peace. What does that mean? That peace is perfect and total reconciliation to how it would have been had there been no sin. In other words, it's perfect reconciliation to what it would have been before the foundation of the world, according as God had desired it and according as God has planned it. In other words, that peace, it includes wholeness, but it is everything reconciled just as if sin has never been. Not only in your life, but in all of existence. Hallelujah. So what? This peace means everything reconciled to God's original intent before sin, before the world began, no sickness, no disease, no symptoms, divine health. That's what we're talking about. Now, furthermore, in this new covenant, Christ himself is your peace. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the word. He says, my peace. Christ himself is the very life of your born-again spirit. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear. Colossians 3 verse 3 and 4. This is your life. Now let me give you a verse of scripture. Because you got to get this. You see, if you can just close your eyes and see Jesus, not just as he was, that would be good enough, but as he is. And you will see Jesus whole, well, and you see Jesus as your life, as your very inheritance, as the very life in every joint and in every cell. If you can see that, you cannot see any sickness, disease, symptom, or any other such thing. Now, hear the word of God. The word of God says in Ephesians 5, verse 23, I know we use it for husband, love your wife. I know we use it for that. But the scripture will actually say in Ephesians chapter 5 that he was actually speaking about Jesus and his bride, Jesus and his body. And here, in Ephesians 5, 23, it says that he is the savior of our body. Not just our spirit, not just our soul, but he is savior of our body. It goes on to say in Ephesians 5, verse 30, that you and I, we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Now, let me ask you something. Are those stripes on Jesus' back healed? Well, if you are a member of his body and of his flesh and of his bones, what does that mean? It means healed. It means divine health. Glory to God. Say, Jesus is my life. And you see, this is the reason why you would have a scripture like Colossians 1:27 that says, Christ, who is your life? Christ in you is the hope of glory. What does that mean? Christ in you is the confidence that you can have to believe God, that you can have the full manifestation of the goodness of God. And healing and divine health is good. Say it's good.
Yes, it's good.
Now, 3 John 2 says, and I'm still talking about the same thing. What am I talking about? Healing is absolutely God's will and desire for you. Healing and divine health. 3 John 2 says, I wish above all things, I pray and I desire above all things, brethren, that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. He didn't just say, and that you would be healed. That would be good too, and it includes that. But he says, be in health. Now, does God mean what he says? What is that saying? It's a saying that God is saying that his desire is that we would have divine health. That's God's heart. That's God's desire. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Christ has made unto us wisdom, and it's perfect wisdom. Christ has made unto us righteousness. It's the righteousness of God. Christ has made unto us sanctification. That's perfect sanctification. And it says Christ has made unto us redemption. Well, that's perfect redemption. That redemption includes not just healing, but divine health. If the righteousness is perfect, if the wisdom is perfect, if the sanctification is perfect, then the redemption has to be perfect. And it cannot be perfect, and somehow healing, divine health, is not in there. Think about it. And as if that's not so, if that was a hard pill to swallow, how about 2 Peter 1:4? That God has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be what? Partakers of his divine nature. His divine nature includes divine health. That we will be a partaker, that we will take that part of divine health and escape the corruption that is in the world. The world doesn't have divine nature available to them. The world doesn't have divine health available to them. So as a result, when it comes to physically, they will decay. They will have corruption. But you and I can escape it by living on a higher law, the law of the spirit of life that flows out of Christ Jesus. By being partakers of that divine nature and thereby escape the corruption that is in the world. What am I saying? I am saying divine health belongs to you. It's your right, and it is and it is the desire and the will of God for you. Remember, Jesus says, I have come that you might have what? Life. What kind of life? Abundant life. What kind of life is that? It's eternal life. What kind of life is that? It's life the way God has it. God had the life, doesn't have sickness and disease. Are you with me? Say, divine health is mine. Eternal life is mine. I can live in divine health. Praise the Lord. The nature is divine health. Divine health. Now that's key number one. Knowing with absolute certainty that it is God's will and desire for you to live in divine health and never be sick. And if there's any lie lurking in your mind, I cast it down in the name of Jesus. God's will is for you to be well and live well. Key number two, you got to know that you can live in this divine health. In other words, you got to know that I can do this. Say, I can do this. Now, it does take faith. But guess what? You have all the faith you need to live in divine health. How could I say that? Well, the scripture says in Matthew 17:20, Jesus said that if you have faith, just the size of a mustard seed, the tiniest seed around, he says, if you have faith as the size of a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this sycamore tree, be plucked up from the roots. You will say to this mountain, be cast, go from here to yonder, and it will obey you. And then he goes on to say, and nothing shall be impossible to you. In other words, with your little tiny mustard seed faith, nothing shall be impossible to you. That includes living in divine health. You've got the faith. How do I know that? Because the word of God says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You've got enough faith. How do I know that? You got born again. And your born again experience is the greatest miracle a human being can experience. And you got that by faith. You got that with your faith. So you got more than a mustard seed of faith. And that's all it takes. Say, I can do this. Come on, say, I can do this. Mark chapter 9, 23, Jesus said, this is Jesus talking. He says, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Is that just a cute scripture? Is that just something motivational for us to say? Or is this the truth? All things are possible to him that believes. Well, of course. Why? Because all things are possible with God. Is that easy to believe? That everything is possible with God? Well, your believing puts you with God, with whom all things are possible. So all things become possible to you when you believe. And besides, all you need is what? A mustard seed of faith. Say, I got it. I can do this. Hallelujah. So here is the truth. The grace for you to live in divine health. It's all done by grace, is it not? The grace, the ability of God, the empowerment, the enablement to live in divine health. Where does that come from? It comes from Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. And of his fullness we have received, what? Grace on top of grace, on top of grace, including grace to live in divine health. Amen? Romans 5, verse 17 says, that by one man's offense, death came upon all men. But for those who would receive, who have received abundance of grace, including grace for divine health, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life by one Christ Jesus. And then again, Romans chapter 5, verse 21, so that as sin has reigned unto death, so shall grace reign through righteousness, which is a free gift, unto eternal life. What's eternal life? The God kind of life. What's the God kind of life? No sickness, divine health. Amen? Now, I don't apologize about saying this because it's the truth. No, I do have compassion, and there is no condemnation to anyone that is struggling with illness. But there is a truth that makes you free, first in your thinking. And then when you apply that truth, when you apply that freedom will cause manifestation. Amen? But you're going to have the truth. You cannot believe what you haven't heard. And you cannot hear if it is not spoken. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you see, it is a faith that it might be by grace. So that the promise of this divine healing and health could be available to every believer. So I'm preaching it. Why am I preaching it? So that faith might come. And when that faith comes, that specific faith for divine health, then the grace of God will come and say, oh, you believe that? I'm going to have to supply that. Say, it's done by grace. Say, divine health is my right. And I receive it. And I'm going to walk it out. Grace is multiplied through knowledge. Grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge of him. Grace to live in divine health. Grace to have that peace and that wholeness. That is the reason why it's got to be preached. Amen? So key number two is what? You can do this. Say, I can do this. All right. Now we're going to come to the six remaining keys. And these six remaining keys are the how-to keys. Say how-to. You know what I mean? Again, sorry. I guess this is a song from way back, but it's still in my head. All right? This is how you do it. Amen. Amen. Okay, you guys are so young, you never know about that kind of stuff. All right. But this is how you do it. These are the six. Is how you do it. This is the do it part. Anyway, key number three. You got to have an attitude of hatred and total intolerance for sickness, for disease, and anything that looks like it, meaning symptoms. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, draw near to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But how are you going to resist the devil? Is he going to show up with a tail and some horns? Right? How are you going to resist him? You resist anything that looks like him. Sickness is his fingerprint. It looks like him. Every symptom of sickness, you must resist it. Don't pamper it. Don't pet it. It is the devil's signature. Don't ignore it. Don't pet the pet symptoms and illness. And I'll tell you why. I use this phrase for impact. And that is illness. That sickness. That symptom that might not seem like a big deal. Quite often, it can very well be death, but in slow motion. If it keeps developing, that's where it could end up. So don't fool with it. And besides, you'll be messing with the devil. Amen? You know, people sometimes, you know, common cold. It's not supposed to be common to you. So don't even call it common cold anymore. You got to resist. Oh, well, I just have a cold. No. I was going to say. You say, I just have a cold. I'm going to blame this on somebody else. I'm going to blame this on a minister that used to talk like this. And you might say to him, no. I just have a cold. And he'll say, no, you got a devil. I didn't say that. In other words, what I'm saying is that simple cold is not a heavenly cold. It's not a heavenly flu. It comes from the devil. And don't fool with it. Don't call it common. It's not your friend. Resist it. Amen? You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. I'm talking about the attitude. Attitude, you know, there's a saying, attitude will determine your altitude. There is some truth in that. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, hear me, and I know you've heard this scripture in the context of husband and wife. Don't go to sleep being angry with one another, sort it out. And that's good. That's good counsel. But we're talking about be angry and don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Don't give up your anger towards sin, towards sickness, towards disease, towards anything that is of the devil. Keep that anger fresh and alive. Because if you don't have that anger, that hatred for the symptoms and the sickness, then what you're doing is you are flirting and giving place to the devil. Amen? You see, when you have that angry, violent, the violent taking it by force, intolerant mindset towards sickness and disease. Yes, it exists, but it doesn't have, I deny its right to exist in my body. Because Jesus has paid the price, when you have that mindset, then what happens? Then you'll be able to stand against it. But it begins in your thinking. It begins in your attitude. Amen? Receive that. Key number 4. Train your mind, and this is so important. Train your mind to think wellness, not illness. Train your mind to think wellness, not illness. 2009. I shared a little bit about this before. I had gotten the revelation. I saw for the first time in my life, I knew about healing, but for the first time in my life, I saw how one can live in divine health and not be sick. And I was excited about it. And I was sharing it with my daughter. A week later, I fell off a ladder, broke my leg very badly. Right? Well, there's been a miracle where that is concerned. I'll tell you about that another time. You know, today I have no metal, nothing in my foot. Bone has grew back miraculously. But that's not the point. In 2009, God had shown me, I had seen it, how to live in divine health. And then when I fell off the ladder a week later, that revelation just vanished out of my thinking in 2009. But it came back. Say it came back. It came back a while later. It came back in 2015. 6 years. And for 6 years, I knew I had had this revelation, and I could not retrieve it. But I got it back in 2015. And you know what it was? It's this very thing. Think wellness, not sickness. Psalms 103 verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Don't forget it. What do you mean, don't forget his benefits? Don't forget his benefits. What do you mean, don't forget his benefits? Be mindful of his benefits. What do you mean, be mindful of his benefits? Let his benefits be in the forefront of your thinking. Think about his benefits. And then it goes on to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquity and heals all your diseases." In other words, then you need to think, he heals all my diseases. You need to think, if he heals all my diseases, diseases ain't got no right in my body. Healing is the children's bread. Healing belongs to me. The same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead quickens my mortal body. That law of the spirit of life in Christ makes me free from the law of sin and death and sickness and disease. He bore my sickness. He carried my diseases. Surely, surely, surely by his stripes I'm healed. You got to think wellness. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. That healing power is flowing in me 24 hours a day. Just the same way my heart beats when I'm not even thinking about it. So that healing is flowing even when I'm not thinking about it. Why? How could it be flowing when I'm not thinking about it? Because I left the light switch on. Amen? I didn't turn it off, so the electricity is still flowing. I left my faith switch on, my faith switch that says that healing power flows in me. The same spirit quickens, present continuous, my mortal body. You got to think this way. You, instead of thinking, ooh, what's that? Sickness, sickness. I know someone I worked with some years ago, he is dead today. And there's a name for folks like that. You just think sickness, sickness all the time. Keep talking sickness. One sickness after another. And he was thinking that way. Number one, you open the door to a spirit of infirmity. So if it's one, so don't. But what am I saying? Think wellness, not sickness. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Be careful," says, okay, King James, "guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The Good News Translation says, "Be careful how you think, because your life is going to be shaped by your thoughts." There are scientific studies that are present and available right now that indicates that the way we are wired is that the way you think, that your body and the rest of you is going to try to work things out to line up with how you think. Whether it be good or bad, if you're thinking you'll never amount to anything, then somehow the other things are going to try to work out so that you end up that place. If you're thinking, if you heard some bad thing growing up, you know what I mean, that you're inferior, you're good for nothing, and that, then your body begins to try to work that out. So when you are thinking healing, thinking health, good rather than bad, then everything begins to move in that direction. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Your thinking will determine your future. So I'm saying what the Lord said to me. Think wellness, not illness. Hallelujah. Now I'm about to share some stuff. It might be a little bit new, whether for you here or for you online. So hear me, because I'm just going to be brief about it. Say law. You know what a law is? Gravity, who like it, who don't like it, makes no difference. The law of gravity, you jump off a building, you're gonna head down. That's the law. But I don't believe it. You're going to still go down. But I believe in this or I believe in that. This is my opinion. This is what I've been taught. It makes no difference. You're going down. Well, there are laws. And so there are laws of God. The very word of God is a law. But now here's a few laws. The law of Christ. Briefly, what is the law of Christ? "Bear ye one another burdens, that you might so fulfill the law of Christ." Galatians 6:2. The law of Christ has to do with your actions, has to do with walking in love. All right. Then there is the law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit, Galatians 3, verse 5, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he performs miracles. But how does he do it? By the works of the law? No, by the law of faith, by the hearing of faith. Romans 3, 27, the hearing of faith. Romans 8, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes you free from the law of sin and death, to which is connected sickness and disease. So the law that governs that life in Christ makes you free from that sin, death, sickness, and disease. So that there is the law of the Spirit, which has to do with faith, which means it has to do with believing, speaking, and acting right, particularly your speaking. And then there's the law of the Lord. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein. Meditate in the law of God, it says. Psalms 1, verse 2. You're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth fruit in your season, and your leaves will not wither, etc., etc. The law of the Lord has to do with meditating in the word. You hear me? So, the law of the Lord, meditating in the word. That means how you think. Meditating in the word of God. The law of the Spirit, your faith and your speaking. The law of Christ, walking in love and your actions. But then here is the law of God. The law of God has to do with how you think. What do you mean how you think? Think like God. Think like God. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Think like Jesus. Psalms 37 verse 21 says, the law of God is in his heart, that's his mind, and none of his steps shall slide. They mean none of his steps are going to slide. He's not going to stumble. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to demonstrate it that much. The law of God is in his heart, and he's not going to stumble. He's not going to stumble. Sickness, and he will not stumble. Are you with me? So this law of God has to do with your thinking, how you think. How would Jesus think about sickness? How you think Jesus think, ooh, if I touch this guy with leprosy, I might catch it. I better not lay hands on this person with HIV. And I better, if this person coughs in my face, I'm going to get a cold. I'm not saying that you go out there and be presumptuous, but I'm saying you don't think sickness. You don't think it. You think wellness. That's the law of God, and that is what I'm talking about. And I'm saying that because the Lord told me that. But I can also back it up in the word. Are you with me? The secret of divine health, of living in divine health, is how you think. I didn't say it was easy, but I'm telling you the truth. So we need our minds renewed. The scripture says we need to, Ephesians 4, 22, you need to strip your mind the same way you will strip a piece of furniture. Strip your mind from the traditions of men and from lies and deceptions and unbelief, and have it renewed to the word of God. Let God's word dwell in you richly. Hallelujah. For as the word of God is in you richly, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Those words and what's in you on the inside will dominate your thinking. That means you got to watch what comes in. What comes in your eyes, what comes in your ears, what comes out your mouth. You know, the scripture says in Job 31 verse 1, I've made a covenant with my eyes. You know, right now, you know, sometimes, I don't know, okay, I don't know, maybe you guys some might be very deep spiritually, I don't know. But if you go, for instance, and you go look at something to laugh at TikTok, you got to be careful, because you're going to see some stuff there that is not good for the eyes. And you better flip past it or don't look at it at all. There are movies out there, and it might not be sin as such, but the crime in the movies, the sex scenes in the movies are not good for you. You can plant thoughts in your mind that you want to be free from. So you got to be careful. You got to make a covenant with your eyes. There's stuff you cannot listen to, and there's certainly stuff that you shouldn't speak and get planted in your heart. Because this is what am I saying? I am talking about the way you think. You got to think wellness. Amen? And you can't be looking and listening to some commercial that is telling you about this sickness that is coming, and this is what's going to happen, and then they show you some kind of some lift chair that as you get older can just take you up the stairs. No, you don't want to think that. You got to think that my youth is renewed as an eagle. The outward man perish, but the inner man is renewed day by day. All right, key number 5, embrace and apply the sacrifice of Christ. Embrace and apply the sacrifice of Christ. What Jesus did on the cross. And what Jesus did on the cross, he did with you in him. By the faith of the operation of God, God placed you in Christ. So that when Jesus was crucified, you were crucified. When Jesus was buried, you were buried together with him. When he was resurrected, you resurrected together with him. When he ascended to the Father's right hand, you ascended with him. You've been washed by his blood. Amen? Communion, a common union that you have with everything Jesus did in his body and his shed blood. All right. So here is key number 5. And again, this is a big one. I'm going to say a big one. What I mean is the sense that when you apply this, right, it is one that you can't leave out. I'm talking about how to live in divine health. It will also get you healed, but I'm talking about how to live in divine health. Amen? Because to live in divine health, you need the life of Christ that is flowing. And that life of Christ is light. It's not darkness. It will drive darkness out. It will destroy sickness and disease. And embracing and functioning and applying the sacrifice of Christ is a major key. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I now tell you with weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. So number one, you must not be an enemy of the cross of Christ. They despise the cross. But you are the opposite. You are going to embrace the cross. You are going to embrace the sacrifice. And look at the results. Jump down to verse 20. Our citizenship, our conversation, our lifestyle is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Remember, Ephesians 3:23 says he's the Savior of your body, not just your spirit. So I'm looking to heaven, not the circumstances. I'm looking into that realm of the spirit, and I'm looking eagerly for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will do what? Transform my lowly body. Transform it so that it could be conformed to his glorious body. Now, when this body is transformed to his glorious body, I don't know about you, but that looks like divine health to me. According to what? To the working by which he, Christ, that is living in me, is able to subdue all things to himself. Picture this. As I am gazing, and as my mind is fixed on Jesus, I'm set my affections on the things which are above. I am set my affection, I'm looking to Jesus, I'm looking to the cross, I'm looking to that rock, I'm looking to the reality of Christ in me, the hope of glory. As I do that, and that's where my hope, my confidence, and my expectation is, then here's what happened. Christ in me, living inside of me, here there is some kind of infirmity. I don't know, COVID-19 trying to hit me, or some disease trying to attack me. It's out there. It's in the world. They exist. Somebody did sneeze, whatever it is, and it tried to hit me. But then what happened? Christ, because of where I'm hooked up with him, Christ in me, he's there. But he's not sleeping on the boat. So what he's here. And then when this stuff tried to hit me, Jesus rises up within me. And he subdues, he releases power. That's what the word says. And he subdues it. He smothers whatever it is that I was trying to rise up. He smothers it, and in the process, he also makes my body like his glorious body. That's divine health. Amen? Hallelujah. So there is this application. Now I'm going to do this. First of all, I'm going to do this in a super abbreviated way. There are 8 aspects of the sacrifice of Christ: death, burial, resurrection, ascension, his blood, his name, his life, and his word. All right? Now, I teach a lot on that. I will say it because I'm going to do this in an abbreviated manner. I will recommend, if anyone wants to get some more on this, go to our YouTube channel or just go straight to YouTube and Google how the sacrifice of Christ heals you. There's a two-part teaching on that that is in a little bit more detail. In addition to that, you can also go to our website or you can go to our YouTube channel and there's a player there that has about 30-something teachings on the sacrifice of Christ. So, I mean, you're going to have to do some homework. But I'm going to give it to you in an abbreviated manner, okay? All right. This embracing and this applying of the sacrifice. Now, let me just say this. Before I go through these 8 elements of the sacrifice and its application, this is what you need to know. Knowing that his burial, knowing his resurrection, knowing this, knowing the blood, knowing the name of Jesus, knowing the Christ in me, all of that is wonderful, but knowing that alone is not enough. You must mix it with faith. Knowing that this is water, knowing that this has the ability to quench my thirst, knowing that this is 2 parts hydrogen and 1 part oxygen, that's the truth. That is good stuff. That is good information. That may even be revelation, but it will not do me any good until I mix it with faith. All right? All right. So I'm going to mention these 8. And the way you mix it with faith is by believing, speaking, and acting like it's so. For that reason, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, to us who are saved, the gospel, the preaching of the gospel of the cross is the power of God that produces salvation. Not just the cross. Not just the sacrifice, but the preaching of it, the proclaiming, the saying, the speaking, the acting on it. That's what releases power for what? Salvation, wholeness, deliverance, healing, divine health. Not just knowing about it, but you got to mix it with faith. Romans, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says, the gospel preached, that's the sacrifice. They heard it. But they did not mix it with faith. And as a result, it didn't profit them. Are you with me? All right, so let's go. That's why it says that if you be a hearer of the word, but not a doer, you deceive yourself. Thinking that I know it, I understand it, I've got the revelation. Yes, you got a revelation. Yes, you got an understanding. But if you don't mix it with action, you're going to stay thirsty. All right, glory to God. All right, so very quickly now, there is the death aspect. What Jesus finished in his body through death, anything ever, whatever he finished in his death is done and has no authority in my life. In his death, he bore my sickness, carried my diseases on that whipping post. No more authority in my life, so I must know that. But also too, what Jesus did in his body in resurrection is mine. So in resurrection, I've got righteousness of God. I've got divine health. It's mine. Say it's mine. I got a whole bunch of inheritance. I have it. It's mine. Number one. Number two, burial. Burial is, there's several things about burial, particularly in relationship to the conscience. But in simplicity, when someone is dead, that means they're not going to react anymore. And there's a lot of things where you just got to stop reacting. But when they are dead, not only will they have these qualities of a dead person, but when you bury them, you get rid of the body. So burial is a finality. It is a finality that old stuff, that history, whatever came from the past, it's gone, dead, and buried. Then there is resurrection, meaning that what? You have now been raised up with Christ. You now have, and in this new life that you have, this body is now the temple of God. I like it that way. Let me speak it with a real religious tone. Your body is now the temple of the living God. Amen. Right? And he is to be glorified in your body. But I'm serious. So now my body is the temple of the living God. Sickness is unlawful. It's not accepted in my body in resurrection. Not only that, but I'm now a member of his body, of his flesh, of his bones, and he's the savior of his body. That's just the application of resurrection. And then there's ascension. Ascension. I have been risen up with Christ. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, and that's far above principalities, powers, sickness, disease, spirit of infirmity, or whatever else. Not only that, because I'm seated in this place of ascension, making me a citizen of heaven, with my citizenship of heaven, I have heaven's rights. So if it's lawful in heaven, it's lawful for me here on earth. If it's unlawful in heaven, it's unlawful on earth. Sickness, disease is unlawful in heaven. Therefore, it's unlawful in my body. That's by the authority of ascension. Are you with me? Not to mention the authority that I have where the enemy is concerned. So that affects my mindset. And then there is the blood. The blood has a voice. The blood speaks. The blood says all the promises of God belong to me. The blood says I'm in a new covenant. The blood says I've been born again to a new inheritance. The blood says that, here's a wonderful scripture, John 20 verse 31, that I have life, the life of God, the life of Christ, through the name of Jesus. And I think I mixed up two things there, but anyway, that's still good. In Exodus it says, when I see the blood, I will what? Pass over you. So I have the, so by the blood I have the authority, the legal authority for the life of Christ to manifest in me. And then there is the, and then there's another aspect, the life of Christ, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, the glory of God is excellence. The glory of God is the manifested goodness of God. So with that life of Christ in me, that life of Christ, as that life manifests, well, it transforms me. But as that life of Christ manifests, what happens? That the manifestation of that life will literally bring what's called in 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, immortality to light. That's an immunity to sickness and to disease. Light cannot be tinted by darkness. It cannot be contaminated with darkness. Well, the life of God that is in your spirit cannot be contaminated with sickness and disease. But you got to know that. You got to believe that. You got to declare that this is how it is. And let the world, let the devil know. Let sickness and disease know. Let every infirmity know that you are unlawful. Pain, you're not allowed. Headache, you're not allowed. Rash, you're not allowed. None of it. No sin. Not allowed. Because what? I have life and immortality abiding in my born-again spirit through the very life of Christ. Amen? Okay, I'm going to leave that one there. And then there is the word of God. I think I missed the name of Jesus. Oh, the name of Jesus. Life through the name. Okay, all right. The word of God. All the promises of God that are yes and amen. And I'm going to simply put it this way. Jesus lives in the inside of you. But do you know one of the reasons he lives inside of you? He lives on the inside of you so that he can live through you. And as he lives through you, he is living through you for this purpose. Remember how he destroyed all the works of the devil? Well, he's still doing the same thing but through you. Which means what? Christ, remember how he would rise up and exert power and smother, subdue anything that rises up against that life, against his word, against you. So let me put it this way. Christ is in you to bring fulfillment to the word of God that you are standing on. He watches over that word to perform it. Christ is in you to destroy the works of the devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Paul illustrated this. Paul said, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 and 11, that I always bear about inside this body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Christ would be made manifest in my body. Paul, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of town, and he was supposed to be almost dead, if not dead. The believers came around him, prayed, and Paul got up, shake off the dust, and went back into town. He was stoned. You know what it is to be stoned? It's not some little pebbles. It was like, I mean, these guys aren't saying. No, it's like, and he was stoned. But listen, what happened with Paul? Listen to the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. And go read the context. Paul says, I always, always bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I live this way. I live in this place of identification. I totally identify as if Christ himself is living here, as if I were him, and I operate by his mind, and this is how I live. I live in this place where I recognize the old man with all of his history is dead, buried, and gone, and I'm resurrected, I'm raised up with Christ, and it is the very life of Christ that is in me, that is emanating through me, and I live this way. I am washed by the blood of Jesus. I maintain a conscience that is pure, so that I'm bold before God, I'm fearless before the enemy, and I have the authority of the name of Jesus, and out of that name I'm able to live the God kind of life. And I'm ascended. And Paul says, this is who I am, this is how I live. And because I always bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, then the very life of Christ is made manifest in my body. And then in verse 11, it says in my mortal flesh, just to make sure we don't go spiritualizing it. He says, I have the life of Christ manifesting in my body, and here is my secret. I live in a place of total identification with Christ himself. And as he is, so am I. For me to live is Christ. He says, I don't want to know nothing else but Christ and him crucified. Oh, I just want to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made one in that, so that even while I'm in this body, I could live in the newness of life. I could live in this body, but I'm living as if I'm resurrected, because I am, and I'm even seated in heavenly place. Paul says, this is how I live, and that's my key, amen? All right, and then finally, and then the next key number 7, is the authority of faith. You live this life by faith, right? You live this life, and you live this life by the authority of faith. I have to leave that there for now. And then also to number 8, and this is perhaps, again, this is a very important one. If I only had 3 of these 8, I would say number one, think wellness, not sickness. I would say number 2, embrace and apply the sacrifice. And then I'd say number 3, this one here is what I would say. Live out of your spirit. Live out of your spirit. Let me give that to you very quickly. First of all, again, where did this come from? Right? The Lord told me this when my eyes got healed in 2013. He said there's a higher source of life. The life of the flesh is in the blood, yes. But there's a higher source of life, and it's your spirit. And here is what these are the scriptures he gave me. James chapter 2, verse 26. As faith without works is dead, so the body without the spirit is dead. Another scripture he gave me was Romans chapter 8, verse 2. The law of the spirit of life makes you free from the law of sin and death, sickness and disease. And then the other one he gave me, which I'm going to dwell on a little bit, is Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, quicken your mortal body. All right, but let me back up and just deal with Romans 8, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, as the body, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Anyway, Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. For if Christ is in you, the body, is Christ in you, by the way?
Yes.
All right, so this applies, right? If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Say, but. But the spirit is life. The life of God because of righteousness. What does that mean? Your spirit, because of its union with Christ, the same life that is in Christ is in your spirit. Because the vine and the branch are one, the sap that is in the vine is also in the branch. So your spirit is life because of righteousness, that oneness. And if that spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. It will revitalize it. It will invigorate it. It will repair it. It will restore it. It will heal it. How? By his spirit that dwells in you. All right. So here is the thing. And then one other scripture, John 6, 63. The letter kill it, but the what? Spirit give what?
Life.
Say life. All right. So here is what it is. You got to learn how to live from your spirit. living out of your spirit. There in Proverbs 12, verse 28, it says, in that way of righteousness, living in that oneness that you have with God in Christ, in the way of righteousness is life. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. But there is an immortality and there is a perpetual life, eternal life. In the pathway of righteousness, living in this oneness, your spirit pregnant with the life of God, the Spirit of God quickening your mortal body, in that pathway, what happens? There is no death. There's only life eternal. All right. One more point and I'm done. Because you see, this is where you got to, it's in that place of righteousness where the devil has no access. 1 John 5, 18 says, the evil one touches you not. Amen? And then finally, here are five practical exercises. Number one, pray over your food. According to Exodus 23, verse 25, that God says, I bless your food, I empower it to do you good, and even as you eat, I take sicknesses away from the midst of you, and the end of your day, and the length of your days you will fulfill. Pray that, declare that. Number two, do communion and do it often. Number three, live in the word of God continually. The scripture says the word is health to all your flesh. Number four, keep the river of the Spirit of God flowing. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Meaning what? Pray in tongues a lot. Pray in tongues a lot. Right? And keep your prayer life fresh. Keep your prayer life fresh. So that river could keep flowing. There's a wonderful scripture in Ezekiel 47, verse 9, that says, wherever that river goes, where there was death, there's going to be life. Whenever that river goes, if there was some sickness that was trying to sneaking on you and you didn't even know about it, that river will just come and it will just wash it away. But this is how you live. This is what you do continually. And then number five, I think is very simple but very important. Guard your heart. Do not permit bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, envy, strife, or any such thing to take up residence in your mind and in your heart. And then what do you do instead? You do not be anxious about anything. Don't allow stress. Instead, learn to rest. And I like this one. The scripture says a merry heart is as good medicine. Means what? Keep laughing. Stay happy. Have a merry heart. The scripture says about three scriptures in the Psalms speaks about God laughing. God has ordained praise because of your enemies. So ever so often, something hit you, some kind of symptom try to attack you, just start laughing. he think he could make me sick. The life of God is in me. And sometimes it matter. Just make it up. Laugh. Can you laugh? Can you laugh on command? One, two, three. Laugh. Ha 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 ha. Laugh. Come on. Ha ha. Children over there, laugh. Ha 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 ha. The devil want to make me sick. I am the healed of the Lord. Laugh, a merry heart is good medicine. I'm serious. Amen? Hallelujah. We are out of time, so I am going to end here. Go back and listen to the tape if you have to. But here is the point. The point of the matter is divine health is available. Yes. Divine health is available. It's part of your legal right, and it's part of your inheritance that you've been born again to, that has been paid for by the sacrifice of Christ. So it's just for us to lay a hold of it by faith. Amen? By practicing some of these things that I've talked about. Amen? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your grace. I thank you for the privilege of being able to have shared this word. And I believe, Lord God, that this word has fallen on good ears and on good heart and good soils. And therefore, it will bring forth much fruit in the name of Jesus. And so that our lives will become a testimony of your saving grace and of your glory. And even as it says, I believe in the Psalms, that your saving health will be seen and known among all nations. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name.